It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. We're glad that you're with us today, and it's the 21st of the month. God is moving, and we're moving into a Thanksgiving time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. We will have a we'll talk about it, a special service. It might need to be on tomorrow, brothers and sisters. We might not be available on Thursday morning. So let's plan on having testimony time on tomorrow. So get your testimony ready. Amen. Get your testimony ready. And let's just plan on having our own little private Thanksgivings with our families on Thanksgiving morning. May God bless you and keep you. It's time for our opening prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for another day of creation, another time to be able to worship, and another opportunity for your spirit to teach us. We ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us to be blessed as we open up your word. And we ask that you will help us always to grow in grace and wisdom. For in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, brothers and sisters, our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
your head, your redemption is
Amen. It's about time, brothers and sisters, for the coming of Christ. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about self-exaltation. Self-exaltation today. And our primary scripture is Psalm 118:23. I want to mention before we do, my wife and I just had a little discussion. It would be better for us to resume our broadcast on Sabbath. So that means Thursday morning, Friday morning. We'll take a break on the broadcast, but we'll be back on Sabbath morning. So please mark your calendars, share it with others. We'll not be broadcasting on Thursday morning or Friday morning, but we will have a testimonial service on tomorrow. So definitely have your testimony ready, brothers and sisters. All right, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we want to say thank you so much because you are sovereign, you are king, you are God. If we wanted to say all that you are, the entire broadcast would not be enough time to give all the praise and accolades and words to express your greatness. We ask for thy Holy Spirit to be with us now. We just want to be led by the Spirit. We want to be used by your Spirit. And we want to be a blessing as you've been a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Self-exaltation. When something good happens, brothers and sisters, we sometimes like to take the credit for ourselves. When we do something and accomplish something, even if it's for God, we sometimes think it's our wisdom and our knowledge and our skills and our acumen. God is reminding us in Psalms 118:23. This is what David said when he saw something awesome that happened. He said, even if he was a part of it, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Can you remember that, friend? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We need to remind ourselves of that. And I want to walk you through some scriptures to show you what happens when you don't remember that. If you go to the book of Daniel and you go to Daniel chapter 4, read the entire chapter. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give a testimony. He gave a testimony of how God had to humble him. So as he begins the chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is basically writing Daniel 4. He talks about a dream he had and that Daniel had to interpret the dream, and there was a big tree and it got cut down and for 7 years. But the stump of it remained, and then it regained its power after those 7 years. And Daniel was a little bothered because he told the king, this is for those who hate you. And so he begged the king. He said, break off your sins by righteousness, the Bible says in that chapter. Humble yourself. Give to the poor. And yet Nebuchadnezzar did not heed, and this is what the Bible says. In Daniel 4, starting with verse 30, it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom and the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Now, I want to share something with you. God said, I'm going to retain a stump in the vision or the dream. The tree was cut down, but they didn't cut down the stump, reminding Nebuchadnezzar or telling Nebuchadnezzar in God's mercy, he's going to let him come back after he goes crazy for 7 years. But brothers and sisters, grass has chlorophyll. Green drinks that we drink when we're sick have chlorophyll. I have now given you a remedy for mental illness. People with mental illnesses need to be on green drinks, brothers and sisters. God tells us this in the story. I just wanted to add that. Okay. Seven times shall pass over thee. Now, brothers and sisters, it didn't say 7 years, but everybody knows it's 7 years. You ask a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Episcopalian, a Catholic, anybody, who is a theologian, will tell you that seven times, that was 7 years that he was this way. And the reason why this is important is because there's prophecies in the Bible, such as a time, times, dividing of time. Time, times, half a time. It describes the 1260-year prophecy of papal supremacy, where the Roman Catholic Church pretty much ruled the world from the Vatican or from wherever it was, and kings had to bow down to it and pay tribute to it, and you could not defy their demands, and they killed you if you persisted in not obeying their dictates and wanted to study the Bible for yourself, okay? 1260 years, we know that Emperor Justinian gave the scepter to Pope Julius in his reign became effective in 538 AD, and he was not dethroned until one of the popes was taken captive by Napoleon's General Berthier in 1798. That's 1260 years. That's one time of 360 years, because the Bible year was 360. Times, that's two more 360s, that's 720. So you add the 722 to 360. And the dividing of time, or another verse says half the time, you have to add another 180. So every day is a year, according to Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:1-6. And so when you say 1260 days, that's 1260 years. This, brothers and sisters, is the foundation to help us understand that a time was a year. Seven times passed over him, that's Nebuchadnezzar. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Nobody could probably get to him to manicure him. The man looked like a beast. Grew in toenails and fingernails, looked like claws. He went crazy, and they had to kick him out of the palace. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. We are told in the spirit of prophecy that Nebuchadnezzar will be saved. One of the few brothers and sisters who will be saved. He was a dictator. Some presidents would love to be dictators and just be in total control, not have to listen to a Senate or a Congress or a Supreme Court or whatever the case might be. Brothers and sisters, you better humble yourself or God's going to humble you. But I'm here to tell you that God is the one who sets up kings and puts them down. We'll read that in a moment. But let's look at another story that talks about this self-exaltation. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Luke, chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so I want y'all to understand, he wasn't practicing any of the big bad sins. He was telling the truth. I'm not committing adultery like some of those people out there. I'm not extortioner and taking money from people. I fast and pray twice a week. Yet God wasn't with him. And the publican standing afar off, who had been sinning, okay, but was truly repentant, by the way, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Brothers and sisters, if we humble ourselves, God can lift us up. When we exalt ourselves, God has to humble us. That's how it works. We're talking about self-exaltation. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22-23, just in case you have some anxiety about what's going to happen next year and who's going to get on. If you're a Republican, you'll be afraid that because of the indictments of President Trump, that Biden might win. If you're a Democrat, you'll be afraid that because people will follow President Trump, regardless of how many crimes he's committed, that he might become the next president. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever, and forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. Listen carefully. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Didn't say the kings had to be righteous, but he removes them and sets them up. So you brothers and sisters, somebody has to put in the Sunday law when the time is right, when the angels have removed themselves from their work of holding back the four winds till the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. Brothers and sisters, all these things that are we're procrastinating on and we're waiting on, brothers and sisters, don't wait on doing what the Bible says. It's not going to be like you think it is. It's not going to be safe even in your house. It's not even going to be comfortable. There won't be food on the shelves in the grocery stores. Weather, if you think it's bad now, is going to get 10 times worse. Brothers and sisters, this world is going to be turned into an upheaval, and it's going to be scary, and people are going to say, we've got to get back to God, and there will be somebody in the White House, somebody in the White House willing to put forth and sign a law that says everybody must worship on Sunday. When that happens, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. When that happens, that's when the mark of the beast. And if you continue worshiping on Sunday at that point, you will have no excuse. You will not be saved. Because the mark of the beast is the Roman Catholic Church, and they say that their mark is the change of the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Do you want to receive the mark of the beast, my brothers and sisters? No, but I'm here to tell you, somebody who was put in there by God is going to sign it, because it has to happen, because God has to have his people who will receive his seal. What is the seal of God? Well, a seal, brothers and sisters, is somebody in leadership, they have seals. For example, Joseph Biden, president of the United States of America, his presidential seal includes his name. It includes his title. It's what most of it's on that little lectern that he stands in front of him. But it's Joseph Biden as he stands behind that podium, Joseph Biden, and then the seal, president of the United States. The title is, the presidential seal has his title and his territory. He's not president of the Ukraine. He's president of the United States. So it's the Sabbath that gives us the seal, brothers and sisters. For in 6 days, the Lord, that's his name, he's the Lord God, made, that is the implied title. He's creator, okay? So the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's his territory. The seal of God that we must have in order to be saved is the Sabbath. If you are not worshiping God on the Sabbath, you do not have the seal of God. Read it for yourself. Don't just take it from me. Read Revelation 13. Read Revelation 14. The people who are saved have the seal of God. The people who are lost have the mark of the beast. I'm not playing with you, brothers and sisters. I'm only telling you the truth, because you're not going to be lost on my watch, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to be one of those dumb dogs that will not bark, preachers that like attention, that just want people to be happy with them. Salvation was given at a high price. We don't have time to play when we preach, brothers and sisters. It's real, and you got to make a decision. And if you run with the footmen and they weary thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in times of peace they weary thee, how does it go? And in times of peace, they weary thee, I think it says, how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Brothers and sisters, if we're not faithful now, we're not going to be faithful then. Don't think that if you don't accept Sunday before the mark of the beast, that you're just going to accept it. Sabbath, you're just going to accept it then. That's not going to happen, brothers and sisters. It's just not. There's going to be, if you're afraid right now of consequences of what people will think or what people will do or what you'll lose, you're going to lose a whole lot more at a later time. And so God is calling us today, if you will hear his voice, harden your heart. There's no good reason not to keep God's Sabbath. And there's no good reason to not make that your primary day of worship. No good reason. There's no good reason not to come out of Babylon where you don't hear the truth being taught. There's no good reason for it, brothers and sisters. We just fall, like the Catholic Church and the Jews, into the pit hole of tradition. Tradition will kill you. Now, all tradition is not bad. There is a tradition that we have every morning we get on this broadcast. Just make sure your tradition is in harmony with a thus saith the Lord. Okay, I just wanted to bring that out, brothers and sisters, because somebody is going to get in the White House and sign that bill. So it doesn't bother me that if Biden gets in and he's Roman Catholic, he has no problem signing it. Pope's happy with him. It doesn't bother me that President Trump gets in there and he's the one that signs it, because he's already got a room in the White House that has spiritual advisors. We're supposed to have a separation of church and state. We're not supposed to be, as president, listening and being influenced by religious leadership. We're just supposed to govern in fairness and righteousness and so on and so forth. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not what happened. We have the combination of church and state. That's why when it comes to things like homosexuality and that kind of thing, even though President Biden, this is how politics is, President Biden is not the one that pushes that. He lets Kamala Harris push that. That's politics, brothers and sisters, because he's Roman Catholic, so he doesn't push that. But he's a Democrat. He supports it. That's the craziness of politics, brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus was not into it. 18:36, the chapter 18, verse 36 of the book of John. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. We're not supposed to be in the political fights of the Democrats versus the Republicans. Brothers and sisters, when it came down to the pandemic, let me tell you what's wrong with the pandemic. It's too political. People pushing. It was mainly a Democratic push for the pandemic. It really was. The Democrats pushing for this pandemic. That they're more socialistic in their approach, whereas Republicans are more individual rights types of pushing in their movement. And so, yes, you had major pushes, and homosexuals and others, they were the highest of if you take it per capita, by sexual orientation, homosexuals were more highly vaccinated than heterosexuals. That's what these statistics show. So the Democrats, which most homosexuals are Democrats because they see the Democratic Party as a way of pushing their agenda, and so that's the way that is. But what you had is then Republicans came along, and a lot of people who were anti-vaccination, they were Republican. I went to a forum, a big summit, huge place, huge hotel. And almost everybody there, if you weren't a Republican, you were too ashamed to say it, because everybody there was Republican. They were selling Trump hats and all these kinds of things, and everybody would come and give their speech. And at the end of their speech, many of them would say, "And I support President Trump." Everybody would clap, yeah, even though he did Operation Warp Speed. So they forget about Warp Speed. You see, that just shows you when you're not thinking what happens, brothers and sisters. And so I'm here to tell you that that's what's wrong. They use politics. And when I gave my book, The Biblical Booster, oh, they were eating it up. They were loving it. But then when they got into that book and it talked about how we as God's people are to follow what is right and what is truth, we're not supposed to support an insurrection. We're not supposed to support anything that violates God's principles, whether that be same-sex marriages or whatever. I didn't get too many endorsements, brothers and sisters. I got some, but I didn't get too many because there were some things that Republicans promote that I don't promote because it's not in the Bible, brothers and sisters. And that's all right. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I'd rather be in Christ and be a part of the minority than not be in Christ and be a part of the majority. God says he sets up kings, he puts them down. I want to give you one more scripture before we close out. Some of you want to be promoted. You want to have a higher rank. You want to do more for God. You want to be recognized. You want to get married. whatever your desire is. You want to be a pastor. You want to be an evangelist. Whatever your desire is. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 75, 6, and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, if you were listening carefully, you notice that David missed a directional focus. He said promotion doesn't come from the east. He said promotion doesn't come from the west. He said promotion doesn't come from the south. He didn't mention the north. Why didn't he mention the north? That would suggest maybe that promotion comes from the north. Well, we're coming up on Christmas time. Maybe it comes from Santa Claus, the North Pole. No, my brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that and shows us in the sanctuary of heaven that the table of showbread is in the north. And you'll read that Satan wanted to put his throne in Isaiah 14, verse 14, in the sides of the north. The table of showbread represents the word of God. For the Bible declares, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The Bible also declares, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. That's in Jeremiah and Job, respectively. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is God saying? Promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. You see, he left out the north because if you want to be promoted, your life must be in harmony with a thus saith the Lord. The table of showbread is in the north, and it represents the word of God. Friends, live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's your only safety today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for teaching us about self-exaltation and how we must be humble. And when something good happens, even in our lives, even being the fruit of our labors, it is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, brothers and sisters, we will have our torso song, and then we will come back and hear a message from Sister Donna, and she's going to be sharing with us on the influence of disease upon the mind and the morals. The influence of disease upon the mind and the morals. At this time, we will take a break with the torso song. Keep in mind, we will not broadcast on Thanksgiving, which is Thursday, and Friday. But tomorrow we will have a testimonial service. Bring your testimony tomorrow.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, we're going to hear from Sister Donna at this time on the subject of the influence of disease upon the mind and the morals.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor and Maria. The influence of disease upon the mind and the morals. A diseased body does, in fact, affect the brain. With the mind, we serve the Lord, and all should guard the senses, lest Satan gain victory over them. For these are the avenues to the soul. The brain nerves, which communicate to the entire system, are the only medium through which heaven can communicate to man and affect his inmost life. Whatever disturbs the circulation of the electric current is the nervous system. Lessens the strength of the vital powers, and the result is a deadening of the sensibility of the mind. Let me read that again. I kind of stumbled over that, and that's important. Whatever disturbs the circulation of the electric current in the nervous system lessens the system of the vital powers, and the result is a deadening of the sensibilities of the mind. In consequence of the brain being congested, its nerves lose their healthy action and take on morbid conditions, making it almost impossible to arouse the moral sensibility. It should ever be kept prominent that the great object to be attained through this channel is not only health, but protection and the spirit of holiness, which cannot be attained with diseased bodies and minds. Mental and moral power is dependent upon the physical health, and physical and moral health are very closely united. The children of God cannot glorify him with sickly bodies or dwarfed minds. Those who indulge in any species of intemperance, either in eating or drinking, waste their physical energies and weaken their moral power. Those whose moral faculties are beclouded by disease are not the ones rightly to represent the Christian life, to show forth the joys of salvation or the beauties of holiness. They are too often in the fire of fanaticism or the water of cold indifference or solid gloom. While men and women professing godliness are diseased from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, while their physical, mental, and moral energies are enfeebled through gratification of depraved appetites and excessive labor, how can they weigh the evidences of truth and comprehend the requirements of God? If their moral and intellectual faculties are beclouded, they cannot appreciate the value of the atonement or the exalted character or the work of God, nor delight in the study of his word. How can a nervous dyspeptic be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh him for a reason of the hope that is within him with meekness and fear? Perfection in the spirit of holiness cannot be attained with diseased bodies and minds. That reading comes from Health for Living. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to just ask you to be temperate, watch your diet, and guard the avenues to your soul, which is the pathway that Satan will surely take to come after your soul. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Amen. Praise God. It's sharing and caring time, friends. I want to remember to... that we'll be having our testimonial service on tomorrow. So definitely come with your testimony. And on Thursday and Friday, we will take a break from the broadcast out of necessity. We won't have a good connection at that time. Okay, that being said, brothers and sisters, it's time to go to Facebook. We have Sister Vicky, and she's out of Georgia. We have Sister Glorious, and she's out of Virginia. Sister Vicky says good morning to all of us, and Sister Glorious says the same. Brother Peyton out of North Carolina says the same. Brother Lucius, and he gave us a good scripture. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12. And we've got our dear sister Clarissa, I believe it is. If I said that wrong, please forgive me. And I'm not sure exactly where my dear sister is from, but you're welcome. Thank you for joining us today. All right. On the call, we have represented Ohio, and Ohio again, and Ohio again. So we've got four in Ohio, praise God, from Ohio at this present time. At least that's thus far. Sometimes there's another that'll come in the latter part of the roll call. We have Iowa. Sorry, I didn't mean Iowa. We have, not to say that we don't have Iowa, but that's not where that's from. That's Alabama. There's Maryland. There's Delaware again. And we welcome a dear one from Delaware that's not usually on. Praise God for you. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have South Carolina, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open, brothers and sisters. And we've got Sister Lenny on the call. Good morning, sister.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. God has given me another year of life today, and I asked him to allow me to serve others today, not me be served, but I want to serve someone. So it's amazing how when you ask God for something, sometimes he does it right away, sometimes he doesn't, but it gets done some kind of way. So I asked him that, and it's already started. It's just amazing. I love it. And so my granddaughter is at the airport, and she forgot her wallet, and so she needed to pay for her luggage, and so I was able to help her. And so she said, "I'm sorry." They call me Ninnin, that's a grandparent name. "Ninnin, I'm sorry, I had to do this on your birthday." And I said, "Oh, no, I want to serve others today." Mm-hmm. So I thank God for that. Pray for her as she's traveling, and that she will return home safely. Thank you so much, and God bless all of you today.
Amen. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you keep Jesus near every day of the year. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, the best that you ever had.
Thank you so much.
You were going to get that song even if you didn't say something, but praise God for another
year
of life. We praise God for you, sister. Amen, amen. And brothers and sisters, that's a beautiful thing to do, to serve others on the day that God has given you a new year of life. We've got 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything at this time? Please feel free. We're keeping in prayer those things that we've prayed for. We've got requests of prayer for a daughter that's wayward and you know, needs to come back home. Keep that in prayer, brothers and sisters. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about our dear ones who are confined, that their sentencing coming up in December. Let's keep those things before the Lord. God is doing what he's doing, and we trust him, and we will do all we can in our power that he gives us, but then we must trust him to work on the hearts of mankind. Amen. Is there anybody that wants to share anything?
Pastor, I would like to say something.
Sure, sis.
I wanted to just speak a little bit about this time of year. You know, it's usually a happy time for most, but not for many. And I used to be in that group. I lost my mother on November the 10th many years ago. And then I have a brother who also died in November, and his birthday was Christmas Day. So sometimes this time of year can be a little bit gloomy for some. So I would like to ask for prayer for that particular group of people who have lost
Amen.
Someone, or for any reason who is not able to enjoy the holidays the way the world says we should. But I'm also giving a praise report because I have come into God's marvelous light. I no longer feel that way. I'm no longer part of that group. And I say that all things happen for a reason, and God does not make any mistakes. So, but I still would like to just pray for the group of people who, for whatever reason, have sorrowful holidays. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. And we can do what we can. If God brings, ask God to bring people to our mind just to give a call to and talk to a little bit and maybe send a card to. Let them know you care. Thank you, Sister Donna, for that reminder. And we praise God that he has brought you from that group to a from being served to one who can serve. Praise God. All right, we're going to take our next caller, and that is Sister Desiree. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria. I just, since you're changing up things, I just wanted to say this time of year, I'm pretty thinking of thankfulness, but I hear the calls and the pleas this morning and saying happy birthday to Sister Lenny. And I, too, the other day was thinking about my aunt, who her birthday, her and my uncle, their birthday were on the same day, same month, same day, just different years in December, but no longer with us. But it's still, for me, this is like, I get such a kick out of Thanksgiving this season, and I just thank God for it and this ministry, and God gives me an opportunity to turn and cultivate the garden of my heart, and to continue to move forward in Him. That this is, I thank God that this is. I know that this ain't the day, but I have to say that He's given me. The strength through the ministry is giving me and building up my stamina, my spiritual stamina, and building up different things where I can move better. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking mentally and spiritually and emotionally. And I just thank God. I can't say it enough. I really want to scream. But I just thank God and how I'm going to make it over and get over procrastination and slowfulness and or anything debilitating in my emotions. So I just want to thank God, and I'm speaking that in faith. I thank Him that my son and his brothers and dad returned safely, got there safely, and returned safely from picking him up from school. So, and most of all, I thank God for an avenue and the privilege of being in the presence of my grandchildren's mother and them last night. And because she has children with my son doesn't mean I have to be in their presence or whatever, but God has given me opportunity as I open my heart and to be willing to be cultivated and to be cleansed and filled with the Holy Spirit more and more, that He'll give me opportunity to witness with them, and they'll be open to it. So I just thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. We're going to go to Sister Wanda at this time. Good morning, Sister Wanda.
Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Thank you. And I wanted to say to the two medical missionary sisters that we are all medical missionaries. We're part of your line. I like to think so anyway. But that does the reading in the morning. You know, that was so beautiful. You know, both of you, you know, shared a testimony the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love. And Sister Vinnie, when you mentioned about, you know, serving others, that's love. And Sister Donna, you know, to think of others, that's love. So that was just beautiful, sharing both of those things. So my real reason for chiming in, before I heard those things, I was thinking, I was contemplating, it was on my heart. And I said, well, maybe I'll save it till tomorrow. We never know what tomorrow's going to bring. So got the opportunity now. I just want to say to Sister Maria, thank you, Sister Maria. And I really been meaning to express this, but I am really, really blessed by your sincere, wonderful prayers that you pray for others. When you hear a prayer request, and then, you know, and then you go beyond, you know, praying for the Holy Spirit, your prayers are just so sincere, and I am really blessed by your prayers. So I want to just thank you for that. God bless. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to go to Sister Gail at this time. Good morning, Sister Gail.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I tell you, it's just a beautiful morning and a time of refreshing to hear everyone in such a jubilant spirit, giving thanks not just for what God has done, but for who he is in our lives, and thanking him for the blessing of my sister, our friend, Carolyn Marie Rollins Smith. And I wanted to say it just like that because I have the privilege of knowing her in each facet of her personality that come through in her name, service, gratitude, unselfishness, love. That's Lenny. I am fortunate to be one of the recipients of her love, of her service, again, her kindness, her selfless giving, and I am grateful. I want to say to everyone this morning, the blessings that we receive when Sister Lenny reads to us on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays are not just something that come from the pages of the books that she reads and says, it came from this book and this page. It also comes from a heart of one who has prepared herself. Oftentimes, I've called her, and she says, I'm making preparation for tomorrow. Or she'll say, I'm having worship right now. Can I call you back? I want to share with you that what we hear, and for those of us who can see her with our mind's eyes or our heart, it's exactly what we get, a servant. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in the sight of God. So, Lenny, to you, I would sing, but I don't think that's my gifting. However, I just want to say thank you. And then for the sister who blessed me one moment ago by stating how she is blessed by Sister Maria's prayers, I, too, am so blessed by this great woman who is such an intercessor. She is such a woman who is gifted to just see as God sees beyond what one might say as they make the request. But Sister Maria is able to touch the heart of God and then be that conduit. You know, the word just flows from him through her back to me anyway, I would believe, to most of us, in that we can see God moving. I can feel him, you know, working on the behalf of whoever is requesting the prayer. Often I've said to Pastor Shellam, please tell Sister Maria how much her prayer blessed me today. But this morning, I thank God for the opportunity to say myself and in the hearing of everyone, God bless you, Sister Maria, and thank God for your gift. Thank God not Amen. Just for your faithfulness to the ministry, not just for your sacrifice, but your obedience to who he has created you to be. So to everyone, have a blessed day, and thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Beautiful. All right, we're going back to Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning again, Sister Desiree.
Yes, good morning again. The reading today for the health segment, I meant to ask Sister Donna, I wanted to know, do you know what book or where is that? I just wanted to know where I could read that from. Was that something Ellen G. White had? Maybe I have it here. I don't know. But I wanted to see what that was so I could read it again today.
Yes. The book is titled Healthful Living, and it is actually a compilation of writings of Ellen G. White, which means it's excerpts taken from other writings where she, things that she had written regarding this topic. And the reading today came from pages 54 and 55.
Okay, 54 and 55. It's called Help, is it Help as an H-E-A-L or Help, E-L-P?
E-A-L-T-H-F-U-L, Healthful.
Oh, Healthful. Okay, I'm sorry. On my end, it's kind of, sometimes I can't, it's not coming through so good. Okay, so Healthful. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you, sister, as you read about Healthful Living.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. All right, brothers and sisters. Let's see. There is no one else in the queue. We look forward to hearing your testimonies on tomorrow. So tomorrow will be a day of testimony. Don't expect a sermon. You are the sermon. You're going to bring your testimony of God's goodness to your. Don't feel like, oh, I've already given that testimony. Brothers and sisters, God's mercies are new every morning. And so repetition deepens the impression and sharpens the intellect. We look forward to hearing from you. And then we'll take a break for Thursday and Friday. We'll be back on Sabbath morning early at 6 a.m. To worship the Lord together. At this time, I will turn it over to my lovely wife, undreamed of, Sister Maria, to give our closing prayer.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for thinking that highly about the prayers. I know that it is not me. I can assure you of that. All praise goes to God. It is important that we try to communicate with Him throughout the day, and I try to have open communication with the Lord. And I think that when we do, when we have an opportunity to pray for others, God is faithful in helping us to get those petitions answered. A lot of times this early in the morning, sometimes I would not even prefer to come on the broadcast. I would just prefer just to rest or either to have my own personal devotion. But God always impresses me to come on and to participate as much as I can. And so with doing the opening and closing prayers, it's a work. And this is a work that's not to be taken for granted or lightly. And I do think of petitions throughout the week. You know, on Sabbath night, my husband and I, we try to always pray together, and I try to put forth those petitions again in my own personal prayers that I don't always share in our family prayers. Especially on the Sabbath, I'll go back and look at those who have put through their petitions throughout the week, and I'll pray those on the Sabbath. I just think praying for these petitions on the Sabbath just brings more reassurance that God will answer those prayers. We don't have children, but we know that there are many of you who do. Unfortunately, your children may not be with the Lord right now, but that doesn't mean that He doesn't have them still in the palm of His hand. God knows His children. He knows the heart. And although the situation in your eyes may seem like they're never going to come to Him, we can never say that because we don't know what God is going to do, and we don't know what our children will do. So I want you to stay hopeful. I know there's been many, many mothers who have prayed 20-plus years, and their children did return back to the Lord. So do not give up. Do not think that your situation is hopeless. Know that God hears those prayers. And I know that there's quite a few mothers on here whose children are wayward at this point. But stay faithful and know that God will work out his perfect will and according with his will for your children. So I just want to say that before we have our closing prayer. Let's pray.
Amen.
Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we humble ourselves before you because you are God who tells us that we can approach your throne boldly, that we can come to you in our time of need, and mercy will be granted to us. You have promised to give us help, deliverance, and protection, which is why your word is so important to know, because your promises are sure. It's so important for us to learn, to study, to teach your word, because it is the only truth that we have. We can't depend upon the world for anything, but we can depend upon God for everything. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that those who have come on the line this morning to share their heartfelt expressions, we are so grateful for their service, their commitment, their dedication, their efforts. We know this is not easy to do every morning, especially this early in the morning. But there's something about the 6 o'clock hour that impresses a person to press forward, to join this broadcast and to come and to share. And if not to share, just to hear and be blessed. And we thank you for all who do that almost in an effortless way. And we are so grateful for them for supporting this ministry that you have given to my husband and I. And Lord, we want to ask for special blessings, especially during this holiday season. And I want to specifically address the issue of all of us, Lord, who have lost someone during the holiday season. Of course, I lost a father and someone who was definitely near and dear to my heart. I know many have lost parents, siblings, spouses, other relatives, even children. And it is not easy when this time comes. There's always that void that is felt, that is remembered. But one thing that we know is that you have a way of bringing joy into our life and giving us peace with that joy. And I thank you for doing that for each of us because that's what we need. So yes, the person may not be there, but your love, your joy, your peace is there to fill that in for us, Lord. And I pray that for those who have gone through a period of loss of a loved one would remember that and will claim that joy and peace because it is promised to us. You told us, Lord, that there is a time to mourn, but there's also a time to laugh. There's a time to cry, and there's a time to build up. There's a time for everything and every season. There's also a time where joy comes in the morning. And Father, we just thank you for giving us that peace and joy. And we want to pray that you would be with the petitions that have gone forth this morning for requests. I pray that you will bless Sister Lenny in her ministry. Continue to let her be used for service. That is her desire, especially on this day that you have given her another day of life. I ask specifically, Lord, that you will bless her comings and goings, and all that come in contact with her today will be blessed, knowing that she is serving them with love in her heart. And I pray that her granddaughter will have safe travels wherever she may be going and when she returns home. And I pray that you will bless her and her family, all of her grandchildren, her son, her daughter, and her husband. Let this be a blessed time for them. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with our dear sister, Donna, asking prayer, Lord, remembering those for this time of loss. And I just want to pray for Sister Donna and her family, asking that you will work everything out, Lord. We know this is a mother who has put requests for her children many times for this broadcast. And we are just praying that you will help out the situations that are there, help her children to see your face, the lovely face of Jesus, and to come into the fold. And Lord, please work upon the hearts of all these children with strong conviction through your Holy Spirit. Impress them, Lord, even now, because time is ever, ever so short. And Father, we want to pray that you will be with Sister Donna in her work, her ministry, and help her. And please provide all of her needs. And Lord, we want to pray that you will bring Sister Wanda's daughter from the street into a home of safety, security, love, and support. And help her, Lord, to see you. Help her to go into a relationship with you. I thank you for Sister Wanda's love. I thank you for her praise. And I just pray, Lord, that you will bless her in all that she is doing. And please help her. She had asked even yesterday for time to be allowed for her to get her class assignments done. And I want to keep that before you, Lord. I know it's her desire to be able to do all she can in the work of this medical missionary field. And I pray that you would bless her in these efforts. Be with her sister, Shirley. We want to continue to pray for her recovery. We have not heard any recent updates, but I do know that she needs recovery, Lord. And whatever else she may be experiencing, please help and provide every need. Fill it, Lord, even to the fullest of his cup, is what we ask and pray for. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless Sister Desiree and her sons. I thank you for what you are doing in their lives, and I just pray that these sons will turn to the true Father in heaven and will submit and dedicate their lives to you, Lord. And I pray that she will continue to seek out your word and seek you for wisdom, gaining knowledge and understanding, and being able to grow even more close in her spiritual walk. Please be with her on this day. And if she has to work today, I ask that you would bless her work, and may she have an opportunity to let people see the love of Jesus. I want to thank you for Sister Gail. Thank you for her coming on and expressing her blessings that she's received from her dear friend, your daughter, Sister Lenny. And I thank you, Lord, that she has been so grateful and so blessed by so many things in her life. And she can see your hand of mercy, your hand of grace, your hand of love, how it extends through your people. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you have given her that spiritual discernment to be able to pick those things up when many would take advantage and not even recognize that this is God who works in our lives. Now I pray, Lord, that other petitions will continue to be answered. I just want to, before we end this prayer, pray that you will continue to have the fear of the Lord in the face of the judge for our friends that are in jail. We pray for immediate release to be granted and for them to be able to get their children back. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for them, is being able to receive their children back. And Lord, only you can make a miracle come about with that. So I personally want to keep that issue before you, not just for them to be released, but for them to be able to receive their children back. We thank you for being a God who has told us that when we come to you with humble, sincere hearts, that our petitions are guaranteed to be answered. And we thank you for hearing us, and we thank you in advance for answering all in accordance with your perfect will. You are God who is loved. You are God who we cannot wait to see, and you are God who we cannot wait to be with. Seal us and help us to be ready for when you return, and may we be faithful to you despite our fiery trials, despite our tribulations, despite all the things we have to do in order to say, I am with, thus saith the Lord. Help us, Lord. For these things are all prayed in Jesus Christ's precious, holy, sanctified name. Amen.
Amen. And he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now on Dreamed Of. God bless you.
Amen. Testimony time tomorrow. We're off on Thursday and Friday. God bless you. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust.